a meeting I was in yesterday. I woke this morning needing some answers from the Lord, just needing God to somehow bring some resolve to questions that I had personally. You know, when you're involved in what I'll call kingdom first or kingdom concept ministry, there is such a contrast when you step into the dimension of those that are operating in kingdom ministry, but it's not the kingdom of God. It's oftentimes masked as the kingdom of God. It's oftentimes portrayed as the kingdom of God. But it's not really the kingdom of God. And I believe we all have this understanding today, but I'm gonna say it again, just so that we're all on the same page moving forward over the next 15 minutes or 5 minutes, however long we go. That what I'm doing today, whether in ministry or in my relationship with God, is doing one of two things. It's either advancing His kingdom or it's advancing my kingdom. I can't be doing both at the same time because His kingdom and my kingdom are in conflict with each other. And so I guess maybe it's better said that when you're involved in, when you're, and I understand how difficult this is for us to grab a hold of. And this isn't just something where you just wake up one day and say, I got this. I'm going to do nothing but promote the kingdom of God, and I'm going to make sure that everything in my life and every word that I say and every action and every dollar that I spend progresses the kingdom, advances the kingdom. It's not just something that happens. I believe the process probably goes something like this. With each passing day, each opportunity we have in gatherings like this, other types of gatherings where we're receiving ministry, there are little tidbits, sometimes larger than others, of understanding that are imparted into our spirit by the Holy Ghost via the spoken word of God, or maybe our own personal prayer and study time. Brother Pablo, I believe that. I may have a somewhat, and I say this today, in honesty before you, I have a very limited understanding of what it means to be a part of the kingdom of God. I can't even for 1 minute stand before you and act like I have the kingdom of God figured out. Although it's simplistic, it's very complex. And so for me to think that I could just suddenly have my hand wrapped around the kingdom of God like this lar bar, like I got it figured out, it's in my possession. It's more like me opening this thing up and taking a nibble off of it today. And then maybe a month or two from now, and then I chew on that nibble for a while. And then in a couple of weeks, maybe a couple of months, maybe even a couple of years, the Lord allows the wrapper to be pulled down a little bit more. And by impartation, I take another bite. And I begin to slowly ingest what it is that He imparts to me, whether by personal study or by ministry of the word, spoken word. And as that impartation comes, remember, said a lot, we're still talking about the process of understanding the kingdom. Okay, this is what I believe that process is. I've digested a little bit, I've got a little bit of understanding, and now as I'm going through life, I may go weeks, I may go months, and then it's like I do a little bit of assessment, Brother Heiner, and I start to look back and I say, maybe I look at my, I'll just use it for example. Maybe I look at my checkbook registry. Maybe I look at my day timer, look at the time that I'm spending or my events or the things that I'm involved with. And I begin to say, oh, you know what? I haven't been exactly as kingdom-minded as I thought I was. All right. And I believe it's a process. It's progression. And as we say all the time, in our walk with God, in our relationship with God, if you're not constantly progressing, if you're staying still, anything that's not growing is dying. There's got to be constant growth, constant progression. And so I'm not here today to say that I have it figured out and I'm going to suddenly just pass off all this wisdom and understanding to you today. And you're going to have it too. Or if you don't have it, shame on you. You should have it by now. We've been talking and praying about this for 2 years. No, I feel like there's days like today where I wake up. And there's the Lord allows me to feel for just a few moments of time, an hour of time, an hour and a half of time, what it truly is. You gain a little bit more understanding of what it truly is to be involved in kingdom-focused, kingdom-first ministry. And ministry and work that is involved in a kingdom, but it's not the kingdom of God. It's meant to advance a different kingdom. Here's something that we're going to read two portions of scripture today. I don't know how these scriptures tie together. We're going first to Matthew 6. Don't try to tie them together. I believe there's two separate things and two separate scriptures, but we're going to read both of them. We're going to talk about both of them. Maybe somehow they tie together. Come on. But in Matthew 6, this is the Lord's Prayer. We've talked about this for what was it? 40? No. It wasn't 40 days, it was 15 weeks. We prayed sometimes. We prayed once a week, but we were praying in our daily lives, and I still pray this way every day. Your kingdom come, your will be done. That's this prayer. Chapter 6, verse 1 says, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Everybody say, to be seen of them. He was talking about, well, just keep moving. We'll talk more about this. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. We got to stop. This is the primary problem with kingdom concept ministry or kingdom focused ministry. This is the part of kingdom focused ministry or kingdom first ministry that my flesh has the most problem with. Because he's talking here about two different kinds of prayer, two different kinds of ministry. The first type that he's describing in verses 1 through 4 is people that are doing their alms, they're performing ministry. Here's the thing, you can't discount what they're doing here. I wish more people in the world prayed on the street corners. They had an issue in their day that I wish we had today. When we were, my wife and I had a business trip to LA a few weeks ago. My wife flew down a couple of the last days I was there, and we spent some time just running around the LA area, taking in some sights. And one day, it was Friday, we went to Beverly Hills just to experience it. Rodeo Drive, the whole thing. And there was a guy on the corner of like 1st and Rodeo Drive who was standing with his Bible in a suit. He had taken his jacket off. I think he was a Kojic guy. Boy, he was praying and preaching. Had his Bible out. Oh boy, I could have had church right there with him. But the looks that dude was getting, I mean, he just didn't fit there. I wish we had more of that. I wish that was a problem. That we had to come to church in a dress. Stop praying on the street corners in Puyallup. We don't have that issue today. I'm not trying to start anything either. I'm just saying. These were people who were sincere in the process. in what they knew. They were out on the street corners and they were praying. And I'm sure in their prayers, if you know their traditions, there was waving and shaking and mumbling and moaning and all kinds of different worship and praise and prayer that come out of their mouths in their traditions. But he said that they do these things. They do these things to be seen of men. Right. He said, don't do that, because if you do that, you have no reward. Everybody say reward. Reward. Now remember that. Remember that word reward, because when we get to Luke 12 here in about 3 or 4 minutes or 30 minutes, the scripture in Luke 12 basically says that the Lord desires to give you the kingdom. Getting ahead of myself, but I don't want you to forget this. He said, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. See, here's the dividing line between kingdom ministry and ministry that advances a kingdom and not the kingdom. One seeks to do things for men so that they can get promotion and be rewarded of men. The other seeks to do the will and purpose of God, no matter whether it's in public or in private. I tell you, there's nothing greater to me. I love when you get around somebody who just, there's just a power and anointing that radiates out of them. And you know that that is the result of time that's been spent in the closet.
Yes, right. Yes.
They've closed the door, not maybe physically, but they have that ability that some of us lack. To leave the phone in the other room. To forget about the day's happenings or yesterday's happenings or things that are yet to come that day. They're able to walk away from the to-do list and the 500 emails that are going to come through that day and the calendar that's dinging reminders of the meeting in 20 minutes. They're able to push all of that aside and get into the closet.
Yes.
And alone with God and begin to pray. And the result of that, how he rewards that. Is incredible. Verse 2. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. For verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, everybody say thou. When thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him, after this manner. Everybody say this manner. Therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Yes.
Yes. It hit me like a ton of bricks this morning. The reason he told them, you pray this way. They pray this way. They seek me this way, though they know not what they seek. They don't know they're seeking me. They're praying the prayers. They're reciting the things. They're waiting. They're awaiting Messiah, all these things. They're praying that way. But you pray this way. When you pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. The reason he wanted to differentiate it was because they were praying and their prayer was to promote a different kingdom. He wasn't discounting what they did. He wasn't trying to necessarily stop them from what they did. But he looked at his disciples and said, hey, when you pray, don't pray like that. And when you do pray, I want you to pray after this manner. Thy kingdom come. Because you're a part of a different kingdom now. You see, they all came out of that kingdom. They were all a part of that kingdom at one time. And now he was helping them to understand that they were living in pursuit of a different kingdom now. Though they were going to do the same things. Though they would have some of the similar actions. Though they would still give alms. Though they would still spend time in prayer. He said, but when you do those things, here's how I want you to do them. Because now you're living in pursuit. You're promoting a different kingdom than they're promoting. Uh-huh. This is important. Amen. He didn't say, go tell them to stop. He didn't say, you know what, they shouldn't give alms anymore. They shouldn't even go to the synagogue and give their alms. They shouldn't go to the street corners and pray anymore. No, he wasn't stopping them. This is where it's difficult for me as an individual to wrap my head around this whole process. Because I want everything that I do, I want everything that I say to point individuals to his kingdom. I want every note that's played in every song that's sung, every praise singer that praises, every instrument that's played in this building, I want it to point people to his kingdom. I don't want for 1 minute, not for a single minute, for anybody to walk here and say, well, that Larry Schoonover's got a church down there in Puyallup. I know that's his thinking too. I'm not trying to say something I know he doesn't believe. This is his church. It's his kingdom. In fact, in Matthew, the 16th chapter, when Jesus had the little conversation about, you know, who do men say that I am? Peter said, thou art the Christ and the living God. Behold, thou art Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Behold, I give unto you the keys of the kingdom, not the church, the kingdom. Not your kingdom, Peter. My kingdom. He'll take care of the church building part. He'll take care of the church in gathering part. He puts the responsibility of his kingdom. Why did he have to put that silly tree in the middle of the garden? Come on. I mean, couldn't he just made it easier for us? All you ladies, for all the pains in childbirth, can thank Sister Eve. Or do you ask God, why did you put the tree there if you knew she didn't have the ability to stay away from it? And all of us men who work by the sweat of our brow and have to bust our backs every day sitting in them office chairs typing away. Adam, why did you have to take a bite? But see, God's always, he's always given men a choice. You can have all of this, but you can't have that. And it's no different with his kingdom. Listen, I'll give you a building. I'll give you a pulpit. I'll give you microphones. I'll give you speakers. I'll give you a set of drums. I'll give you a really nice keyboard. I'll give you a Hammond B3. I'll give you a multimedia system. Come on. I'll give you really bad lights and really nice chairs. But will you take possession of it and attempt to build a kingdom to yourself? Or will you leave the church building to me and simply take part in the forwarding, the growth of the kingdom? That's hard.
Why don't you just do it all?
Just keep the keys. I'll just show up. I was traveling yesterday with Brother Garcia, and I made a statement to him. I said, it's unfortunate that we were all born, no matter how humble you are, how humble you claim to be or want to be or think you are, each of us was born with an inherent desire to be recognized. I want Hadley to think I'm a good dad, Eli. I want that. I want my wife to think that I'm a good husband, and you should too. If you have a wife, you should want your parents' kids to think that you're a good kid. You should strive to want to be a good kid. Then they're all in Sunday school, so get them the CD. It's inherent in us. It's the way we're created. But yet in ministry, in kingdom ministry, I read something the other day. You may read it too in the future if you're allowed to. This thing I read said, do not send this to anyone. This is a non-edited version. You can imagine who that came from. The idea of this writing, this article, this what's going to be a book, was that if in ministry my desire is to please people, that's not ministry. And if I fear in ministry of failing, that's not ministry either. I'm just trying to please people. If I'm truly ministering, it doesn't matter how bad I fumble over my words and play the wrong keys and play the wrong beat and hit the wrong pedal. It doesn't matter.
That's right.
Because if it's true ministry to him, nobody hears the wrong beat. It's when I'm trying to make people think, now Nick's a good keyboard player, and Nick's a good singer, and then he hits the wrong note, and people are like, oh, God, stop singing. And if the fear of me hitting the wrong note keeps me, listen to me, if it keeps me from entering into ministry, then I'm not really ministering anyway. I'm just trying to please people. How did we get here again? Oh, I know how we got here. So, he puts us in the situation of him being the one. This is we're his body. This doesn't belong to me. It doesn't belong to any man. It doesn't belong to any organization. Even though we're affiliated, this doesn't belong to anybody. This belongs to you and I. You're my brother. You're my sister. We're all members of the same body. We all have the same dad. We have the same father. This all belongs to us. This is all a part of us. We're the hands and feet in the earth.
That's right. Come on. Amen.
And so everything that I do, I have a choice whether I'm going to turn this church, if I'm going to turn Life Church into its own kingdom, or if Life Church's purpose is going to be to advance his kingdom.
Yes.
That's a choice we have. And that's a weighty, weighty responsibility he puts on you and I. This doesn't just fall on me. This doesn't just fall on Bishop Schoonover. It doesn't just fall on the Sunday school teachers. This falls on all of us. I think it was... I'm trying to remember where I said this. I think it was in Wapato about 4 weeks ago. I started talking about hero worship. How people elevate preachers and ministers. Now, don't get me wrong, I have utmost respect for the men of God in my life and the authority that God has placed in my life. But people have elevated individuals, ministers, to such a level and such a height. And I'm not sure who it's about anymore. I'm not sure if it's about him or the God who uses him. And I'm not sure if they know, they being the people to elevate. I think the men who are in those situations, they understand. If you were to talk to most of them, if you were to pull them aside, they would tell you unequivocally that there's nothing that I do. There's no miracle. There's no authority. There's no anointing that doesn't come from God. But you and I as individuals get caught up at times. And who it is that is holding the mic, or how powerful they are, who they are, what their name is. At that point, I am unknowingly erecting a kingdom that's not God's kingdom. The moment by my actions or words that I begin to promote an individual, oh, this guy's the greatest. We got to get this guy on the road. We got to get this guy around. This guy needs to preach everywhere. Get this guy to your church. Gotta be careful with this. I'm walking on really, really, really dangerous territory here. There's a fine line there. I'm not saying that if God doesn't use somebody, you say, hey, listen, this guy, the Lord really used this guy. You should have him come to your church. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But if we get to the point where we're promoting people, somebody's got an agent calling around saying, hey, you know, you got this guy, you need to have him here. Whose kingdom are you promoting anyway? I'm not saying we do this knowingly. Again, I said from the beginning, it's tidbits of the lar bar. We're getting a little tidbit today. We're chewing. We may not like it. I eat some of those bars I do not like. They're still in the pantry of my house. Okay, now to Luke 12. I'm going to read this in the Amplified Bible, Brother Kendrick. And I'm going to jump down here. I was going to read the whole chapter, but we don't have time for that. Let's start in verse 16. Then he told them a parable, saying, the land of a rich man was fertile and yielded plentifully. And he considered and debated within himself, what shall I do? I have no place in which to gather together my harvest. And he said, I will do this. I will pull down my storehouses and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain or produce and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many good things laid up and enough for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and enjoy yourself merrily. Whose kingdom? Who gave him all that? So he's at a point now where he's got right now he's got one storehouse, one for grain, and then we'll say this pad right here is another storehouse. So he's got one for grain, he's got one for produce. And they're full. They're full to the hill. You couldn't get one more stock of wheat in the threshing floor, but they're cool. And you couldn't get another bushel of apples or a single avocado in this one right here. It's stuffed. But yet there's more outside. Who does that belong to? Who gave it to him? Who caused the land to produce the overflow that existed? God did. But we find here in the story that he, when faced with this opportunity, he decides to take possession of everything. Wow, this is mine. This is good stuff. I can tear these down. These are old barns. Let's tear them down. I don't know what he did with what was inside, but he tore the storehouses down. Uh-huh. We're going to start all over. We're going to build a megaplex. Uh-huh. I'm not going to do it, but just imagine flipping, taking all this front row all the way across and turning it around and lining it up. We got ourselves a megaplex of storehouses now. We're going to build a super Walmart. Forget a Walmart. We got a super Walmart now. Man, they cover some square footage. Huge space. Actually, you know what? Now we're gonna get a sign on it. We're gonna call it the Rich Man's Storehouse. So that when people are traveling by, They can see how great I am. You see, those other storehouses, they were kind of hid behind the trees over there. People walked by and they thought a poor man lived here. I need them to know a rich man lives here. See how quickly we can transition from what God has given me, these storehouses that are full, and there's even more out back. I don't even have enough room in the storehouses to get everything in. God, you've blessed me. This all belongs to you. You're the one that filled it. You're the one that's put excess on the outside. This is your kingdom. This doesn't belong to me. How quickly we can transition from that to, look at me. Look what I have. I want more. I don't have enough. Welcome to the kingdom of Nick with all my storehouses. That's how quickly it transitions. Verse 19, he said, I will say to my soul, soul, you have many good things laid up. Enough for many years. Take your ease. Eat, drink, enjoy yourself merrily. Verse 20 says, but God said to him, you fool. You fool. This very night, they, the messengers of God, will demand your soul of you and all the things that you have prepared, whose will they be? All right. Wasn't yours to start with. And when we take your soul tonight, it won't be yours then. Verse 21 says, so it is with the one who continues to lay up and hoard possessions for himself and is not rich in his relation to God. This is how he fares. Now, he goes on in verse 22. He says, don't be anxious and troubled with cares about life. Life is more than food in 23, the body more than clothes. Observe the ravens in 24. They don't reap or sow. They don't have a storehouse or a barn. Yet they're taken care of. Think about that. Poor raven, he didn't got a hoarding house. He didn't have a storehouse. He doesn't have a pantry yet. He didn't worry about what he's going to eat. It just the Lord provides for him. 28 says, if God clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow was thrown out in the furnace, how much more will he clothe you? Verse 30 says, all the pagan world is greedily seeking these things. Everybody say the pagan world. This is the other kingdom. The other kingdom seeking, what can I get? What can I build? How great can my empire become? That's what the pagan world is seeking, greedily seeking. Your father knows that you need all the above things. Verse 31, only aim at and strive for and seek his kingdom. Hey, this isn't a disconnect from the story of the guy who built barns. It's all in the same dissertation. This is all about the kingdom. Uh-huh. And all these things shall be supplied to you also. You seek the kingdom. You put the kingdom first. You make sure that let me stop and explain something here. When the scripture says, when I read, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. It doesn't mean go home and throw everything out of your pantry and just pray every day. The application of this in the 21st century is, I can't worry about what putting the kingdom of God first in life and ministry, making sure that everything that I do promotes his kingdom and is for the progress of his kingdom. Right. I can't worry that in the pursuit of that, I'm going to lose out on things to eat and what I'm going to put on my body and all the other things, the roof over my head. He says, if your life, because here's the problem with some now among us. Thank God not here. I say that in all sincerity. There are some who, for the sake of money, are building their own kingdom. They're all over this city. They're not going to preach truth. If they preach truth, their kingdom would fall, and they wouldn't have any money. They'd worry about where they were going to, that million-dollar house they have and that $100,000 car they drive, the helicopter they fly around in. All that stuff would go away if they preach truth. If they quit building so-and-so's kingdom, I'm not going to mention any names, and started making sure that everything they did advanced his kingdom, I guarantee you 90% of the place would empty out tomorrow. It'd be gone. As fast as they came in, they'd be gone. And so would the helicopter and the house and all the other things they have. And that's what he's trying to get through to us here. You make sure everything you do in ministry and in life promotes my kingdom. I'll make sure you don't lack any of these other areas. You're not going to have to worry about where you're going to sleep. You're not going to have to worry about what you're going to drive, what you're going to eat. I'll take care of all that. Remember what we read in Matthew 6 and verse 1, that your Father wants to reward you? Verse 32 says, do not be seized with alarm and struck with fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Here's what I imagine. And my wife can come to the keyboard. Here's what I imagine. Or Miko, whoever's taking care of it today. He's up there just looking and watching and waiting. Is there anybody that will sell out to my kingdom? Because it's his great desire. He's like a little kid in the candy store. He's like Hadley at Safeway before church when she saw the goldfish display. 99-cent cartons of goldfish. The 99-cent was me. Didn't have to buy the whole $4 pack. 99-cent carton. He's just excited. Oh, I want to give him the kingdom. He did it to Peter. He said, I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom, Peter. It's yours. Get it in and drive it. He's looking for individuals who will sell out to the idea of advancing his kingdom. My goodness. God help us right now. Your kingdom come in my life, Father. Your kingdom come in my life, Father. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. You can stand if you want, or you can stay seated and pray if you want. It's entirely up to you. My prayer, I want my passions, I want the things that I'm doing, I want the money that passes through my hands, I want it to be advancing his kingdom. I want everything that I do, and I understand this isn't going to happen tomorrow. This might even happen next week or next month or next year, but my purpose in life, my goal in life, it's got to be with everything that I do, every step that I take, I'm advancing his kingdom. I told my wife the other day, I heard a song, terrible song, but had a great line in it. He used all of his great writing expertise on one line in the song. The rest of it he could have just done away with. He should have just sang that line over and over and over and over and over again. It would have been a great song. The line was this: I don't want to say a word unless it points the world back to you. Think about that. Think about how many words you speak throughout the day. I say a lot of words. I have a lot of conversations. I talk about a lot of things. But how much of what I say points the people that I'm talking to back to Christ? I get around some people and they're that way. It's like everything they talk about eventually runs a big circle right back to the kingdom. You can be talking about cars and they'll get on the subject of how God gave them a car one time. Have I invited you to church yet? Everything, every conversation that they engage in. We went hunting the other day. We were with Jake for maybe 3 hours. My dad didn't leave Jake until he told him he pastored a church in Yakima. We're out in the middle of nowhere. They were talking about, you know, Jake hates Yakima. He lives in Ellensburg, but he hates Yakima. Doesn't go to Yakima. They started talking about the gangs. Yeah, I don't go down there. I take my gun when I go. And that was like the gateway. He's like, he kicked the door open for my dad. I'm pastor in Yakima. Every conversation, at some point, though it may have been a 3 hour long conversation as we walked over hill and over dale through canyons and kicked sagebrush, it eventually pointed that kid back to Christ. He got the kingdom in at some point. Everything that I do, I don't want people to see me. I don't want self-promotion. I know that's difficult to say. I want it to advance his kingdom. Whatever I'm singing, whatever I'm doing, whatever I'm portraying, whatever I'm playing, I want it to advance his kingdom. I'm going to give you an opportunity. If you want to pray where you're at, that's fine. If you want to come up to the front and pray, that's fine too. But would you just, for a few minutes of time, would you have a conversation with the Lord? I trust today that as he has imparted understanding to me over a process of time, that he's doing the same thing with you today. That by the scriptures that we've read today, maybe if nothing I said, but by the scriptures we read today, there was a little tiny bit of understanding that you receive. Would you allow that by the own words of your mouth, by your own prayer, to sink in and get a hold of you today and say, God, I got another little step today and I'm going to apply this to my life and I want to grow in this. I want to better understand this. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lo robo so roba shiki arroba robo corroba hakaye.